A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Thus says the Lord to his anointed Cyrus, whose right hand I grasp, subduing nations before him and making kings run in his service, opening doors before him and leaving the gates unbarred. For the sake of Jacob, my servant, of Israel, my chosen one, I have called you by your name, giving you a title, though you knew me not. I am the Lord, and there is no other. There is no God besides me. It is I who arm you, though you know me not, so that toward the rising and the setting of the sun, people may know that there is none besides me. I am the Lord, there is no other. The word of the Lord. The beginning of the first letter of St. Paul to the Thessalonians. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy to the Church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace. We give thanks to God always for all of you, remembering you in our prayers, unceasingly calling to mind your work of faith and labor of love and endurance in hope of our Lord Jesus Christ, before our God and Father, knowing, brothers and sisters loved by God, how you were chosen. For our gospel did not come to you in word alone, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with much conviction. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Brothers and sisters, may our Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. The Pharisees went off and plotted how they might entrap Jesus in speech. Then they sent their disciples to him with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are a truthful man and that you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. You are not concerned with anyone's opinion, for you do not regard a person's status. Tell us then, what is your opinion? Is it lawful to pay the census tax to Caesar or not?" Knowing their malice, Jesus said, "Why are you testing me, you hypocrites? Show me the coin that pays the census tax." Then they handed him a Roman coin. And he said to them, "And whose image is this, and on whose inscription?" They replied, "Caesar." And they said to him, "Then repay to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and to God what belongs to God." The Gospel of the Lord. Good morning. And how are you?
Blessed.
There, you sound like you got some life. Everything seems a little dragging today. So we want to get more life going within us. Now, we see Jesus today, and they're trying to, it's set up from the very beginning. It says, to put it in context, they plotted how they might try to entrap Jesus by his speech. So they're trying to corner Jesus, and they have the Herodians and the Pharisees' disciples go. Now, Herodians followed Herod, and they believed you had to pay the taxes. The Pharisees did not believe in paying taxes. They did it so they didn't get killed, but they didn't do it, so they're trying to trap Jesus. Now, no matter what he says, he's going to make someone mad. Now, I don't know if you know people like that. Like, again, I was just going, and I told the people on Friday, I was in Montgomery, Alabama this week. And as I was down there, I mean, I had a three-hour layover in the airport in Atlanta. So I'm getting ready to get on the plane, and, you know, we're about 5 minutes before boarding, and a man comes up to me, and he gets real close to me, and that always freaks me out because I like my space. Anyway, as he got real close to me, he says, "So, how are you?" And I said, "Blessed," and we went on, and he's about 2 minutes in there, because I'm in my clerics, of course. I always travel in my clerics. He says, "Do you believe in the rapture?" I go, "I think there'll be a rupture before there'll be a rapture. No, I don't believe in a rapture." And he was already, because he had his phone out and was right there in the scripture. And he started with me about the scripture about we'll be taken up, da da da. I go, "I know the scripture. I still don't buy it. It wasn't started or believed in until the 19th century. And a particular pastor decided to do this and took off with that." And he goes, "Well, how about Enoch in the Old Testament?" I says, "Yes, he was taken up to heaven, but not like the rapture where Christ is going to come and people are going to be raptured and that'll be 1,000 years. No, it's not going to happen." I says, "The day the rapture comes is the day you die. You're going to see Jesus." Well, he would not let it go. And I said, "Sir, can we focus on what we agree on? We agree that we need Jesus Christ for salvation. We agree that we are saved by grace. We believe that it's all because of Jesus." He would not. And there was a pastor about three ahead of me, and he come back and says, "Thank you. Couldn't we all focus on what we agree on?" No, the man wasn't going to let it go. And so he starts at me again. Now, I have anger issues. And so I start getting mad. And I says, okay, sir, let's talk about salvation. Let's start. It says, the word of God says, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life within you. You've never eaten his flesh and you've never drank his blood. And then he says, well, that's because it's a teaching. I said, it's not just a teaching. The word in the Greek is sarx, S-A-R-X. It's a piece of flesh. And Jesus said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life within you. So I'm talking about this. Well, then he says, why are you getting angry? And I said, because I was minding my own business. And you decide to come up and start with me. So if you start, I'm going to finish. So we go back and forth, and I said, they called us to get into the plane. Thanks be to goodness. And so I go and I shake his hand. He didn't want to shake my hand, but I said, sir, you have a blessed day. You know, because he started with me. Well, the same thing happens today with Jesus. They started with him, and they had their agenda. They were all ready. They were going to trap him. This man was all ready to trap me. And again, Jesus doesn't respond, oh, thank you for asking me that question. Thank you. He says, why are you trying to trip me up, you hypocrites? Now, that wasn't very nice. But Jesus did it. So I'm just following Jesus, just so you know, in the airport. But anyway, but he's sitting there and they're trying to corner him. Again, a little bit ago, we had some cardinals try to corner our Holy Father with a new dubia. You know, and then he responded. Last time he didn't give him the time of day. This time, within 24 hours, he responded. That wasn't good enough. They didn't like what he said because, again, they tried to corner him. There's a new book called Credo, which a lot of people are trying to get. It's the new catechism. There is no new catechism, people. It's one bishop's interpretation of the catechism, and he's bringing his interpretation to the world. And all the ultra-conservatives say, look, this is the new catechism. There's only one catechism, and that's the catechism of the Catholic Church. Don't go running to someone's interpretation of a catechism. Let me tell you that right now. Again, trying to trip up other people to give their interpretation. Jesus won't let people corner him like that. And he says, let me see the coin. And whose inscription's on that? Caesar. Then give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar and to God what belongs to God. Now what that means for us, of course, is we have dual citizenship, correct? We belong to our country. There's people watching from all over the world who belong to Australia, the Philippines, and other things. And us who are here, we belong to America. You must be a good citizen. You must obey the rules of the country. You must pay taxes because that's what feeds you. God's telling you to be a good citizen. Give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. But, then he says, but give to God what belongs to God. And what belongs to God?
Everything.
And so we got to sit there and think, okay, I would think that most people are watching us, most people are here, are good citizens of our countries. We pay our taxes. We vote, most of us. We do all the things we're supposed to do. We obey traffic laws. We obey the law of the land because it's the law. We are good citizens of the earth. The question is, are we good citizens of heaven? Are we good citizens of God? Do we give to God what belongs to God? And again, we do that primarily by what we spend our time on. So first of all, am I a man or a woman of prayer? Is prayer important to me? Do I give that time to repay back to God for everything that God gives me? Am I a person who is a person of service? Do I take care of other people? Do I do that I am third, at least one unselfish act a day for somebody? Am I putting other people in front of me in my daily life? Am I a giver at my church or am I a taker at my church? Do whenever I belong, am I a person that participates in what the church is doing besides just showing up like a country club? Or am I a giver of the person? Because as I've said, everyone that belongs to our parish anyway, there are no takers here. There's only givers. That's why when you go to the class, everyone must do at least one thing every year for the parish besides give money, or you're a taker. And if you're a taker, you're not even a follower of Jesus, more or less being a person that belongs to a parish. There are no takers in Christianity. There's only givers. So am I a good citizen of God? Do I give to God what belongs to God? So I think what all of us have to do is don't just dismiss what God says today, but do an examination of conscience. How am I a citizen of the country that I live in? Am I a good one? Yes. How am I a citizen of the kingdom of heaven? Am I a good one? What do I do to prove that I am a good citizen of God's kingdom? That I'm a good citizen of God? Because it all matters. The first one matters about who's in charge and different things about the world's kingdom. But what matters more is God's kingdom. We all want to hear the same thing when we die, I hope. What do we all want to hear before God when we stand before God on judgment, when we drop dead?
Well done, good and faithful.
Well done, good and faithful servant. If I was to drop now, would I hear from God, well done, good and faithful servant. You put my kingdom, and you worked for my kingdom, and you repaid for the kingdom every day of your life. Come, enjoy your Father's joy. May you know his love today and forever. Amen.